Let's read together Psalms 38 and 39. In Psalm 38, the emphasis is on the consequences of sin. And in Psalm 39, the emphasis is on the shortness of life. Let's begin by reading the first 12 verses of Psalm 38. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are full of inflammation, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand afar off. Those also who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all the day long. Let's consider a couple of background notes for Psalm 38. Psalm 38 is one of the seven penitential psalms and could be entitled a song of sorrow. That is sorrow because of the consequences of sin. Psalm 38 is read by the Jewish people in synagogues around the world on the Day of Atonement. We see from the title of this psalm that David is the author, and it is a memorial or a petition to call something to remembrance. Well, it doesn't take much insight to realize that it is David's sin that is to be brought to remembrance, because in this psalm, we see that David is suffering the consequences of some sin in his life. It is probably not his sin with Bathsheba that David is referring to here, because the consequences here are different than the fourfold consequences that Nathan pronounced in 2 Samuel chapter 12 after David's sins of adultery and murder. It has been suggested that David's sin referred to here in Psalm 38 was his glaring failure to discipline his family at the time of Amnon's rape of Tamar and the subsequent murder of Amnon by Absalom. We can't be sure, but in any case, we read of the consequences of this sin, whatever it was, here in this psalm, and that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 38. Believers should acknowledge the fact that there are consequences to sin. Believers should acknowledge the fact that there are consequences to sin. We see in verses 1 through 12, the verses that we just read, that David was suffering both in body and spirit. It's as if God, in his anger, was shooting painful arrows into David's body and pressing his hand down hard on him. Verse 2. David knew that his condition was because of God's discipline. Verses 3 and 4. David's body was racked with weakness, pain, and fever. Verses 5 through 8. But David knew that God knew, verses 9 and 10. And that gave David hope in the midst of his brokenness, loneliness, and threats on his life, verses 11 and 12. Now let's read the rest of the psalm, verses 13 through 22. But I, like a deaf man, do not hear, and I am like a mute who does not open his mouth. Thus I am like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth is no response. For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord, my God. For I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me, lest when my foot slips, they exalt themselves against me. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare my iniquity. I will be in anguish over my sin. But my enemies are vigorous, and they are strong, and those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied. Those also who render evil for good. They are my adversaries, because I follow what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, do not be far from me. Make haste to help me. O Lord, my salvation. In these verses, we see David's determination to not try and make excuses for his sins or vindicate himself in any way, but rather to confess his sin and leave everything in the hands of God, and as a result, be restored to fellowship with the Lord. Believers should acknowledge the fact that there are consequences to sin. Now, what about practical application for Psalm 38? Expect to be lonely when you sin. Expect to be lonely when you sin. Verse 11, my loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand afar off. God forgives us our sins when we repent and confess our sin, but there are consequences to forgiven sin, and loneliness is one of those consequences. In David's case, he was shunned by family and friends because of his bodily condition. But even when you are not physically sick, you will be lonely when you sin. Oh, sure, you will have surface friendships with people involved in your sin, but when all is said and done, you will be lonely until you repent and confess your sin and until you are restored to the Lord in fellowship. So expect to be lonely when you sin. Let's continue reading Psalm 39, which emphasizes the shortness of life. I said, I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle when the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing or meditating, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor, Selah. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. I was mute. I did not open my mouth because it was you who did it. Remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. When with rebukes you correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is vapor. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner, as all my fathers were. Remove your gaze from me, that I may regain strength before I go away and am no more. Let's consider a couple of background notes for Psalm 39. Psalm 39 is clearly related to Psalm 38 and may have been written by David at about the same time as a sequel. The emphasis in this psalm is on the shortness of life, but it is because David is under the hand of God and experiencing disciplinary sickness that this emphasis on the brevity of life emerges. Verses 10 and 11, once again, remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. When with rebukes you correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is vapor. So we see that Psalms 38 and 39 are closely related and may have been written by David around the same time. We see from the title that Psalm 39 was written for the chief musician to Jeduthun. Jeduthun was one of the choir directors appointed by David to lead in public worship. Our doctrinal point for Psalm 39 is as follows. Believers should accept the fact that life is short. Believers should accept the fact that life is short. Notice the emphasis in this psalm on the brevity of life. Verse 4, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. And verse 5, indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. A handbreadth, by the way, is only four fingers wide. And verse 6, surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And verse 11, when with rebukes you correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is vapor. We see in verses 1 through 3 that David was determined not to complain or mouth off or defend himself about God's sovereign ways in his life, especially when the wicked were listening, and as a result, they could find fault with God's ways. But in verses 4 through 6, David vents his frustrated feelings before the Lord. Verse 4, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. In this verse, David is not praying that the Lord would reveal to him how he would die or how much time he had left, but rather that the Lord would help him to appreciate the brevity of human life, something we all need to appreciate. The end of verse 6 has a powerful message for all of us. A man heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. If you don't leave your money for the Lord's work, you don't know how it will be used or squandered. In verses 7 through 13, David acknowledges that his suffering was because of God's righteous discipline, as we've already mentioned. And therefore, David would guard what he said, but he did request relief from God's heavy hand so that unbelievers would not gloat over David's situation. Verse 8, deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. And so that he would no longer be like a stranger to God. Verse 12, and so that he could smile again and enjoy his final years of life. Verse 12 and 13, once again. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner, as all my fathers were. Remove your gaze from me that I may regain strength before I go away and am no more. David was 70 years old when he died. Believers should accept the fact that life is short. Now, what about practical application from Psalm 39? Live as if you only had 6 more months. Live as if you only had 6 more months. What would you do if the Lord told you that you had only 6 more months to live? Would you witness to your neighbor? Would you get more active in Christian service? Would you spend more time in Bible study and prayer? Would you up your Christian giving? What would you stop doing that you're in the habit of doing now? Who would you try to reconcile with? Who would you forgive? Would you try to be more kind and loving in your family and at work? A good indication that you're living the right way as a Christian now is that you wouldn't have to make any changes. So live as if you only had 6 more months.